Today, we are beginning a new series of sermons entitled The Summer Soundtrack. We'll be looking at some summer music and the power of music in the Psalms to reveal the character of God to us. So when I was growing up, we had a house down in Bethany Beach in Delaware, and we would spend much of the summer down at the beach, and I can remember the boom boxes playing music, and I can remember cars riding by with the summery tunes coming out of the cars, and different tunes kind of feeling to me like they were my soundtrack. I can recall making those mixed tapes off of the radio and feeling like those songs were telling my story and sharing mixed tapes with my friends. Some of you might remember that. We had a slide right before, Joe, can I go back one? With all of the different ways we've listened to music across the ways. Can you see the records and the 8 tracks? The mixtapes and the CDs, and I even throw the shuffle in there. Maybe somebody's got an iPod as well. The song track of the summer, that some songs that got you up and dancing, some that were kind of those quiet ballads, the sad laments, and kind of the soul songs that you could sing out with some strength. The people of Israel had a song track as well. The book of Psalms is a collection of poetry that most scholars often had music associated with it. There were psalms of joy and praise, psalms of sadness and lament, psalms of desperation that end in some kind of hope, psalms that were called the ascent psalms that were sung as you went up to the temple 3 times a year. It almost makes me think, forgive me a moment, of the songs you sing in the car on those long car rides that begin with a certain number of bottles of something on the wall and it keeps going. Perhaps the Psalms of Ascent had a similar familiar feel. The book of Psalms were known so intimately that they weren't written down until generations after they had become familiar. Perhaps we have some radio songs that we don't need to see the lyrics, but we could sing right away, even together. As I was trying to decide what summer songs would accent our worship and teach us about the character of God, I listened through a lot of our summer favorite songs. Some of those I wouldn't play here this morning. But for this morning, I was thinking about one, maybe you know it, Marvin Gaye, Mickey Stevenson, and Icy Joe Hunter originally wrote this song, and they proposed it to Martha Reeves, who says when she first began singing it, she imagined being at home in Detroit with the record player on the porch, and as soon as she put the needle down, she imagined everyone would come out of their house and begin dancing along. I wanted to play for you this morning the debut of this song on the Ed Sullivan Show from 1965.
Thank you.
This was covered over 35 times by musicians as diverse as the Grateful Dead, Van Halen, and all the way to inspiring the Rolling Stones' Satisfaction, the riff there at the beginning. So some of us will remember this is kind of a get up and dance kind of a song. This is McCall's from 1964, for those of you who might remember it. But it was also, I have as well, 1964. It was a call to action kind of a song in a nation that had just struggled with 36 firebombings by the Ku Klux Klan of African American churches, a civil rights bill that had just passed. And if you remember, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee had just had 3 of their volunteers gone missing when that song was released. Call to action that something had to change. Even in the midst of joy, there was a call for action. Mark Kurlowski writes in his book, did you know there was a book about dancing in the streets? He's got a book ready for a brand new beat, How Dancing in the Streets Became an Anthem for a Changing America. He writes, this song had a second meaning. It was not just a get up and dance kind of a song, but also a call to action. This made me think an awful lot of the dancing that we heard about this morning in our scripture. Dancing in the streets didn't just begin in 1964 in the United States of America. Gathering to celebrate and sing has always been a little counter-cultural. From the earliest days of people, we hear about dancing as exuberance, worship, and praise. The early church fathers and mothers were often taken to task for these services of dancing and of singing. There's always somebody worried they were going to get too excited praising God. I think these were also the actions we heard Karen read for us this morning out of 2 Samuel. The bringing of the Ark of the Covenant to rest that puts David's feet to dancing. The presence of God that has him moving about and dancing in his soul. In fact, we can imagine that he was so exuberant and full of life. Seems a little undignified for a king, exactly. In fact, you remember from the scripture you just heard that his wife saw him, and I can imagine her just putting her hand over her forehead and shaking her head in the certain way that wives do every so often. Maybe husbands do it as well. She was positively mortified by his behavior. There's nothing dignified, she would say, about a king dancing that way before God. There's something in us that seems to determine what is proper and what is appropriate, as if there's only one way to praise God. But as Mikkel would find out, God is known and praised not just in one place, not just by one people or in one way, but calling out around the world to be praised. From the beach to the mountains, from a tree to Longwood Gardens, to a grocery store, to a cramped room overflowing with kids, where you can barely hear yourself think. All of these places, we can find ourselves praising God. Wherever it is we've experienced love and presence, support and care, wherever it is we can point and say, that is the character of God. We find our praise spilling out of us, sometimes in undignified kind of ways. Our God, you see, is a God of joy and a God of presence, a God of care and a God of compassion, a God who is worthy to be praised. Now, I understand. We could look around ourselves and say there's plenty of other things we should be concerned about this morning, and not necessarily joy and praise. Perhaps it seems, it seems not serious enough. We could watch the news and listen to the latest need for our prayer. We could be in touch with pain and suffering, with questioning and with concern. And hear me to say, I think those are important as well. You might find yourself this morning in that place. And we'll find that in the Psalms as well. But I read this week from Shauna Nyquist. She's a blogger and finder of God in the ordinary. She writes that we need to celebrate God in the everyday as, and I put it up here, as a tap dance on the fresh graves of apathy and cynicism and the creeping belief that this is all that there is and that God is no match for the wreck of the world that we live in. What God does in the tiny corners of our day-to-day lives is stunning and gorgeous and headline-making. But we have a habit of saving the headlines for the grotesque and the scary. I believe the psalmist would agree here with this blogger. In fact, it's not so different from the call to praise in Psalm 84. The psalmist who praises God for how different life feels living in the house of God. The Message version says it just slightly differently, and I want to share this part with you. And how blessed are all those who live and know the lives of the roads you travel, those who wind through lonesome valleys and come upon brooks and discover cool springs, pools brimming with rain. God-traveled roads. Roads that curve up the mountain, and at the last turn, God is in full view. God in full view is worthy to be praised. God who loves us and cares for us, who calls us, you and me, to be disciples. God who is near us on the summer days of sunshine when everything seems, at least for a moment, to be right with the world, and God who is with us when the world is just crashing down upon our heads. So this week, I invite you to take a moment, perhaps a little undignifiedly, and sing or say, or I dare even say dance, your praise to the God who has been with you through all the paths that you have been on. God is worthy to be praised. This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.